I stand here with trepidation before this congregation. I'm thankful for Stephen and Gaines that has asked me whether I would like to speak in this congregation. And of course, my answer is definitely. I'm a preacher by, I won't use the word profession. It's not a very good thing, word to use, Nana. But I've been preaching my whole life. I don't know how to do anything else. And I said preaching since I graduated from Forces College in Singapore way back in 1975. You know. Then 20 years later, I went to Abilene Christian University and studied for another 3 years down there. And that's the only thing I know how to do, Nana. Just to preach the gospel. And Brother Gordon Hogan invited me to apply for the Harding School of Theology to spend one sabbatical, one seminar, the fourth seminar in Memphis. I did apply, and somehow, through God's grace, I got that grant, you know, that I can be here for 4 months, you know, in Memphis. And what a joy that really is. You know, okay, and it's good that we bump into people. I use the word bump. Into people that I met over the years. Now, I met so many people that come by and through Memphis, folks that I've known for over the years. Now, I just met some missionaries that was in Taiwan, the Tweets, Nana, and the Greens that were in Malaysia. And this coming week, Nana, I'm going to the ACU lectureship, and the following week, the Harding lectureship. And it is great just to meet all these folks in God's community, in God's family that I've known over the years. You know. And what a joy that really is to be in the family of God. Romans 8, verse 22 to verse 27 is not the easiest text. You know. I grappled with that text, and what a rich, you know, powerful, wonderful text that really is. You know. Okay. Romans 8, 22 to verse 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. Right now, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hope for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. Now, this is a difficult text. No? This is a difficult text that the Apostle Paul speaks about the whole creation. It opens our eyes to the world around us. Creation. We see the birds of the air. We see the fishes in the water, animals on the ground, creatures big and small. That we know that in the book of Genesis chapter 1, God made all these creatures. And that we are human beings. Adam was being given dominion over all this and even named all the animals that came to him. Now, some of these animals we can only see in the zoo. And I heard that Memphis has a wonderful zoo. Others we meet often, the cats, the dogs. And the other day I was very amazed when I saw a squirrel. We didn't have that much squirrel okay, in Malaysia, and I mean, so free coming here and there. You know? Now, this is the whole creation which we humans, unfortunately, think we can use or misuse without hesitation for our own purpose. My friend Santin, that was here last week from Myanmar, was repatriated to America as a refugee. He has been here 3 years. He was talking about how when some of his friends came from Myanmar, from what we call Burma, he saw squirrels, and to him it's food. And so he took slingshot and shot squirrels and got arrested for that. Because you can't do that in America. I'm thankful you can't do that in America. To him it's food. I mean, because I think food is scarce down in Myanmar. I mean, I've been there and the situation was very, very dire. We think there is no other way than to sacrifice some of these creatures for our benefit, even if we inflict great pain on them. Now, we may need them for food, or we may need them for medicinal purposes like the Chinese do, everything, and they ground the powder for medicine purpose. Creation eagerly waits. Albert Schweitzer, 1871 to 1965, French-German theologian, philosopher, and physician, wrote about the ethics of the reverence for life, in which humans should have a compassionate connection with the whole creation, about which the Bible speaks that the whole creation, including human beings, has been groaning in labor pains until now. Romans 8 verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. There was a man by the name of Raymond C. Carver, Jr., 1938 to 1988. American short story writer and poet. He writes the book A Small Good Thing, which he did in 1983, a short story about Scotty. Scotty was hit by a car while walking to school the week of his 8th birthday. His mother, Anne Weiss, had already gone to a local bakery and ordered a special cake for the birthday boy to celebrate. Everything had seemed right in the world of Anne and her husband, Howard Weiss. But everything changed in the Weiss family's world as Scotty is taken to the hospital and slipped deeper and deeper into a coma. Paul, the apostle, exerts in Romans 8, verse 18, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. However, even though the Apostle Paul foretells a future glory up there, he is mindful of the groanings and sighs that belong to the children of God in the present age. He confirms that even though we have the first fruits of the Spirit, yet we groan. We groan because we, in every age, await eagerly the redemption of our body. Now, in Romans 8, verse 23 to verse 25, not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he has already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Paul navigates the choppy waters of the now and the not yet. now, and the not yet, of the present time and the time when all that plagues the children of God will be conquered through him who loves us. We are living in the in-between times, the present and the not yet. The present and the not yet. Always, as Christians, we are living in between worlds. No? What we experience right here on earth and the not yet. The Apostle Paul acknowledges that in hope we were saved. Verse 24. We hope for that which is not seen, and we wait for it patiently. Now, in Raymond Carver's story, there is no patience. And I can relate to that. There's no patience. The baker, the baker is anxious for Scotty's birthday cake to be picked up and paid for. The wisest are full of anxiety as they hope for what they do not see in their coma-bound young son. And the medical staff impatiently searches for answers. Now, all of Carver's characters are hopeful, but none is patient. So it is with most of our members. We are hopeful, but we are not patient. We want it now. As someone kind of prayed this, Lord, give me patience. No. But give to me now. No. Okay. Now, in most pastoral care and conversations, it is not the future, but the present that demands our most careful listening as pastors and helpers. In an ironic way, reflection on the future must be postponed. Even it is the hope for future that pulls the Christian through the present time with all its groanings, its pain, its weakness, and sigh too deep for words. As pastors and helpers, we listen, we walk with the flocks through the darkest valleys. They boldly claim in faith, hope, and love that the Spirit helps us. Romans 8, verse 26 to verse 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. While we cannot, and we are too grieved and sad to find words, no, the Spirit, according to Paul, is the one who helps us in our sighs. No. We don't know what to say. We are just too grieved, perhaps. No. Too sad. No. That there's no words that comes up, even though we want to pray, we can't. Because we are too grieved. No. The presence of the Spirit in the time of the present suffering is an ever-present reminder that God is present with the faithful always. The Paul anticipates fully the work of the Trinity. The God searches the heart, loves us in Jesus Christ, and knows the mind of the Spirit. That finally, in our weakness, God is present with us in the one who died, yes, and was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. No. The Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. No. Now, in Raymond Carver's short story, it ends with Scotty's death and a vision of the redemption, and the wholeness that will characterize God's future. Scotty's grieving, angered few parents find redemption and wholeness, at least for a moment, at a bakery in a late afternoon visit with the baker, who had been phoning over and over again, requesting that they pick up and pay for Scotty's birthday cake. And the baker apologizes once he knows for the for the many phone calls, and break open a rich dark loaf of bread. And Anne and Howard partakes of that rich dark bread. And the baker tells that eating is a small good thing in a time like this. In a time of sighs too deep for words. And the baker listens to Scotty's parents, and they to him. I mean, sounds like what we did this morning while we partook of the Lord's Supper. The Christ died for us, and we come here to commemorate and to celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us 2,000 years ago, that through him we have redemption, through him we have the forgiveness and remission of our sins. Peter's story, born 1938. In his book, With God in the Crucible, preaching Costly Discipleship, that he done in 2002, he developed the idea he called the great nevertheless of God. And that's where the sermon topic came about. The great nevertheless of God. While serving as bishop of the Methodist Church in South Africa during the struggle against apartheid, even while surrounded by the strong army agents of repression, Story knew that Holy Spirit was active in his nation. The government, the South African government, had all the power. Nevertheless, God was with the poor in South Africa. The South African regime did not hesitate to use force in order to stop rebellion. Nevertheless, Story with Desmond Tutu, born 1931, and others led the black South African in a peaceful revolution. The odds were heavily against the peaceful revolution. Nevertheless, with God on their side, they were victorious. That in the end, there was a strong temptation to retaliate, hit back against the white regime while they were in power. Nevertheless, God gave them a means of forgiving enemies and forming a reconciled nation. No matter what the odds, if God is in it something, no obstacle can block the great nevertheless of God. Because somehow, God is in charge. God is in power. God will make everything right now in God's own time. We may live in difficult times. Nevertheless, God is guiding creation through the pains to a future fulfillment of promise. We don't see the hope that we hold to. Nevertheless, it is this hope that saves us and for which we were given patience to endure. The Spirit is not always as visibly active in the church as we might desire. Nevertheless, the Spirit is unceasingly attentive to our pleading, even to the point of bringing our prayers home to God where we were unable to articulate them for ourselves. the Spirit intercedes for us with words that cannot be uttered. We may not know what God has in store for us. Nevertheless, the Spirit knows the mind of God and leads us towards the will of the one who makes us for God's own purposes. I visited Don Green, one of the missionaries in Ipoh, way back in the 1970s, 1980s. I've not seen him for about 25 years now. He's an older man right now, 81, coming to 82, just had his prostate cancer procedure done. And it was so good to see him and his wife, Anne Green. And we're talking about the good old days in Malaysia, how it was in the town that they were serving as missionaries in Ipoh. Funny stories. And he mentions about the providence of God, that God somehow worked through the lives of the missionaries that were in Malaysia. And recall a story told by Brother Gordon Hogan, missionary in Singapore for many years now, that he was trying to get a visa to go to India. So somehow they flew from America down to Europe, bought a car, a camper van, Volkswagen, and drove all the way down with two other missionary families. Everywhere they applied for visa, India say no, cannot. No visa for Americans. So he drove all the way down. Then somehow they landed in Pakistan. And I think Brother Hogan says, what? There is no missionaries in Pakistan. You cannot get missionary to Pakistan. Way back, this is the 1960s. But he went to the immigration office in Pakistan, in Lahore, in Karachi, I don't know exactly which city. And he went in and says, I want to see the top man. And here he was, he was ushered into the office of this, immigration top official. And he says, I want to apply for a missionary visa to stay in Pakistan, Lahore. And the guy says, I don't give visas here. You're going to see that man down there on the desk. And so he did. He went down there and says, that man down there asked me to get a visa here. And the guy said, okay. And he got a visa down there because this clerk thought that big man, okay, the top guy, has really approved the application. And who is he to say no? And so that's how he got the visa to stay in Pakistan for 8 years. Now it's impossible for a man, but the nevertheless of God, that God works in mysterious ways, that he managed to stay in Pakistan for 8 years where no missionary visas could be issued to missionaries. That's amazing. The great nevertheless of God. During the roaring 1920s, the famous Spanish artist Pablo Picasso, 1881 to 1973, he was asked to paint the portrait of a young woman. He worked for months and finally unveiled the painting. The painting looked like her, but she was years older, wise, and strong. That she was not the young, uncertain woman that her friends knew. Those who saw the painting said, but that doesn't look like her. To which Picasso answered, it will be one day. It will be one day. The artist's vision of a yet unrealized future represented her own vision. A vision that helped her become what she actually did become. Romans 8, verse 22 to verse 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only that, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoptions of sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. But hope that sin is no hope at all. Who hope for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will.